themselves and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a cloudy, overcast Thursday that has turned a little bit rainy in the last 45 minutes. However, make no mistake about this. There is no rain right now. Not in this show. Ray, you know what to hit. Well, then again, maybe not. Let's see. Here. Hello, Terry. I'm doing pretty damn good.
I would say so. Eddie Rosario, your new hero.
Yeah. Where is that coming? What do you think's going on with the Dodgers?
I just think they're in one of those funks that when you get into it in a postseason series, you just can't shake it. You know, when you're not hitting with men in scoring position, it just kind of becomes contagious the same way that hitting with men in scoring position becomes contagious.
Let's say hello to Coach Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
I'm good, George. We're having to do it by phone today, huh? The equipment's giving us some issues here.
Really? Did you get like a little gremlin in it?
It's just, I guess I'm just not a good Thursday guy. What do you think?
That's possible. Did you watch last night?
Since I'm dead last in the picks, I must not be a good Thursday guy. That's probably what it is. Yeah, I watched.
Are you surprised it was that easy?
Nothing surprises me. The Dodgers don't even look like themselves. And the Braves are playing fantastic, man. I mean, they're just losing. Everybody. Everybody. I mean, the pitching's been good. The hitting's good. The timely hitting's good. Knocking it out of the park. I mean, they're hard to handle right now. But, my God, I don't know what's wrong with the Dodgers.
So, at the moment, there's a game 5 tonight, and Atlanta looks like they're going with Max Fried, who has been lights out. If there were an All-Star, if there was a Cy Young Award after the All-Star break, Max Fried would be that winner in the National League, and they're sort of counting on him to sort of bury the Dodgers once and for all. If that were to be the case, it sure looks like you would set up an Atlanta-Houston World Series. And, Watson, I would like to begin the festivities today of beginning to rip on the Astros. You think we can do that?
Oh, I guess you can. It's your show, so go for it, big boy.
Well, let's hit it. They're a bunch of damn cheaters.
Glad you finally come around to seeing that.
Well, I'd never said they weren't.
Oh,
I had no problem if they cheated against your team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because your team has cheated over the years.
My team is pure as the driven snow.
Yeah, misremembered. Yeah, that came out of your pitcher in front of Congress.
He was a Red Sox.
Yeah, sure he was. So what is the latest? What are they being accused of now?
I'm not real sure. There was a story on the New York Post about some light coming on in Fenway Park, and it's actually the Astros apparently accusing the Red Sox of cheating.
Really?
Yes.
The pot calling the kettle black.
Yes, yeah. But I don't really know the details of it. I didn't have a chance to look it up and see if there was anything to it or not.
Right. Wow, interesting.
But, you know, the Reds to do a little... have some nefarious acts as well because their manager was suspended last year.
Yeah, but he was suspended for what he did in Houston.
You don't think he brought that with him to Boston?
No, he gotten caught.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Guys, you honestly think that Houston would cheat this year? Do you really all believe that, or are you just having a good time with this?
Watson, I don't know. I mean, in all fairness, you know, let's say there were...
No way!
Okay, let's say there were 40 people that were in on the Astros deal at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay? 25 players on an active roster, another 5 to 10 that got called up or sent down, coaching staffs. So somewhere around 40 people knew, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a one of them spoke up loud enough to say, this is unacceptable.
Well, but that's a year ago. It has nothing to do with this year. And to give the Astros credit, they've come back and done it the right way this time. I mean, I don't know how it's fair to say that about them now. Believe me, I was with everybody last year. And I just don't think Dusty Baker would be a part of that.
No, I do not think Dusty Baker would be. But, hey, a bunch of the people that were a part of that 3 years ago are still on that roster. Yeah.
Apparently this the mystery has been solved. It was a TV station light that was coming from center field.
Right. The Astros don't need to be accusing anybody of anything.
This is true.
Do you have work you're ready to do?
Sure.
I'm excited.
I know you are.
Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update is brought to you by Soul Tea, your all-natural, caffeine-free dietary supplement for optimal cholesterol health. Online at soultea.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-A.com. This is Terry McCormick's Daily Titans Update.
So, Terry, let me be a tad bit cynical here.
Okay.
Watson's back there going, wow, this is just the first time? So, it's obvious that this team has a Super Bowl kind of offense.
Yes.
And it's obvious that it's a Sun Belt Conference kind of defense.
Yes.
They can't stop anybody.
Maybe Big 12.
And that in the end, the belief is that at some point, you got to be better than this defensively to win.
Yes.
They're fun to watch, but am I going to sit there and say this is a Super Bowl contender? Not really.
Okay.
What is their front office, in your opinion, doing right now to try to address what is the obvious? Really good on offense, maybe good enough to win a Super Bowl on offense, not anywhere close on defense.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure they're probing around in the trade market. It comes up in about 10 to 12 days, I think it is. I believe it. Usually it's on a Tuesday. So I think it's a week from Tuesday would be my assessment of that. The thing is, how much is out there that can really help you at this juncture? Because basically rosters are most of the time at their best at the start of a season. Then you start losing players to injuries, and you're replacing them with lesser players. And usually you do not get better through injuries, and in-season trades are kind of a sketchy proposition because, you know, it's not like baseball where you just, or basketball where you just plug in a second baseman or a power forward and they hit the ground running and everything is fine. When you make a trade in football, it's, you know, this guy's got to know our playbook. This guy's got to know,
right,
you know, what we call this play. You know, this may have been this, you know, this slant pattern may have been this where he played before. Now it's called this and that sort of thing. So it's a tricky proposition when you go out and you try to add. I think the best thing they can hope for is that some of the guys they have, Christian Fulton, Bud Dupree, guys who are banged up right now, that those guys get healthy and that they can help down the stretch and improve this defense by being available. And then, you know, you continue to hope to get good production from people like Kevin Byard and Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons.
But do you not also have a pressure, if you're John Robinson, of having to get in a room and say to yourself, Derrick Henry today is Godzilla. This guy is unbelievable. But running back shelf life can be very short.
Sure.
So isn't the Derrick Henry window what you have to think about right now and say, we've got to go for it now while he's still Godzilla?
No doubt about it. And then we had this discussion off air the other day. Ryan Tannehill is not a spring chicken. He's 33. And the thing of it is, you know, used to, and I know Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are kind of defying this theory, but used to, after about age 35 or 36, that's when quarterbacks start to drop off in their effectiveness too. So not only do you have the Derrick Henry window, you've got the Ryan Tannehill window to think about. And yes, while this offense is at max performance and a peak level, they need to get the defense improved enough so that while this window of opportunity is open, they can play in a championship game.
Okay, another theory. Over the last 2 years, their first and second round draft picks have been complete bombs.
Yes.
At some point, they will pay the piper for that.
They already are at right tackle, and they may be at cornerback too, with Farley being out, with Fulton being on IR and out at least two more weeks. So they may, to a certain degree, already be paying that price, especially at tackle.
Terry, that is your Daily Titans update for the day.
That's good.
Unless you've got something that the world has to know.
Well, I have something else, but it actually can be saved for stat of the day, so I will use it there.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. This is exciting.
Riveting.
It is. Watson, we have other news.
What you got?
Well, Commissioner Pogu sent me this. It looks like baseball is about to head to a new playoff formula. And we're going to talk with Danny about this here in just a few minutes when he joins us. There will be seven teams in each league, with the one seed getting a bye to the divisional round. Then the wild card would consist of three-game series, all at home for the better seed. Two plays seven, three plays six, four plays five. After the wild card round, they would then reseed or go through with the idea that the one seed gets to choose its opponent.
I don't like it.
Okay, why?
I just don't like somebody sitting there saying, okay, I want to play you. I lay out a way of doing it and go for it. That's the way it's always been. Why are we changing now? One thing I've always loved about baseball is they kind of stick to their guns.
Not these days.
I mean, no playoffs are done that way. I just don't. I'm more of an old traditionalist, though, so you can ask a lot of other people might be different than me. I'm probably the exception more than the rule on this one.
No, I'm with you, except I like the format, except for that I don't want somebody choosing who they play. That's ridiculous.
Don't like that.
I'm fine if they want to reseed and have, like, if the seventh-place team defeats the second-place team, if they want to have the seventh-place team play the first-place team in the divisional round, I'm fine with that. That's kind of how the NFL does it.
Doesn't hockey do that? Or I know, does the NFL do that?
The NFL does that because the lower seed always goes to the higher seed.
I'm not against that at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be against that at all.
But, you know, this choosing who you play, I mean, you know, to me that's garbage.
Preds are home tonight against the Rangers at 7 o'clock. And then this story, six schools: Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, Texas San Antonio, Rice, and UAB have accepted invitations to join the American Athletic Conference. No date set, but a source telling ESPN that the earliest they could join would be 23-24. So I got a question. All of those schools considered by the American Athletic better than middle?
Middle and Western, yeah. The crazy thing to me about this is how it just is a trickle-down effect. The SEC raids the Big 12 for Texas and Oklahoma. Big 12 raids the AAC for Cincinnati and Houston and Central Florida. And now the AAC is going to raid Conference USA. So next, Conference USA is going to raid the Sun Belt to get back up to their get their number back up.
No, actually, if Pogge has it his way, the MAC will be getting Western and Middle.
Really?
Okay.
And Conference USA is going to go away?
Into the hinterlands. Danny Evans joins us after the break. I'm not celebrating yet, but I'm getting dadgum close. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Golfers, it's time to tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops for the Callaway Apex Trade-In Event running now through October 31st. Bring in any of your old clubs and receive a 50% trade-in bonus towards new Apex 21 irons. The Apex, Apex Pro, and Apex DCB are designed with artificial intelligence for faster ball speeds. Swing by and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Okay, we are back. And I'm just looking at the clock here, trying to figure a few things out. I guess we now say hello to Danny Evans, who joins us by phone. Danny, where are you?
George, I am in the offices of the Field of Dreams on a drizzly, chilly, rainy day in Dyersville, Iowa.
But that's still better than darn near anywhere, isn't it?
Well, George, I'll tell you what. There are some days that are better than others, and this is one of those days that's just good. So, you know, my corner office isn't so bad.
Nice. I like it. I want to run something by you before we begin the gloating.
Yeah.
There is a... there's a deal, and I think CBS Sports Network was the one that put it out there, saying this is the likely new baseball playoff format. Seven teams in each league, with the one seed getting a bye to the divisional round. Wild card round would consist of three-game series, all at home, for the better seed. A 2 versus a 7, a 3 versus a 6, a 4 versus a 5. After the wild card round, they would reseed or go through with the idea that the one seed gets to choose its opponent. Any thoughts about that?
Love it. I think that's fantastic. I love the number one seed being able to pick their poison. And I love it because it's the sport that plays the most regular season games. It's most dependent on the starting pitcher, and the better teams have the best pitching. I think it's great, George. I love the idea. I think it's fantastic. I'd heard that once before, but after you just mentioned it to me, I think that's wonderful. And I think the great thing is that we're adding teams to the postseason. So nearly half the teams in baseball have a chance to participate in the postseason. I think that's good for the game.
Okay, Watson, you were pretty the other way. You and Danny talked through that a little bit.
No, I'm 100% on adding teams. I just, Danny, don't like that I pick you deal. Maybe that's a traditionalist in me. But I'm just not.
I don't like Watson. I don't like that layoff for the number one team because it's such a timing game that any time you sweep a team or you beat them in 5 games or 3 games in a series and you're off for like 5 to 7 days, your offense always struggles the first couple days, and it neutralizes a lot of that break. I think that number one team should have all the advantages in the world.
Well, I agree with that, but do they have to pick a team to do that? Are there other ways to make sure they don't have that layoff?
Yeah, you know, we could probably do a pickup game in Nashville and just hang out a little bit, but I'm talking about
within the way you set it up. Why is it that would be the reason there's a layoff? I don't understand.
The layoff is the best of 3 series, right? Those wild card 2-7, 3-6, 4-5 situations, and I think that's the only reason that there would be a layoff, and it would probably be 4 days.
Then I don't like that either. I don't like that either. I'd rather it be like it is than that. It's just me. It sure doesn't mean I'm right or wrong, but it doesn't mean I'm a clown either. I just have an opinion, and I just don't like sitting there and picking a team, saying, okay, I want to play you. I just don't like that.
Yeah, and the traditionalist in me doesn't like that. But the personnel guy does, because I think if you can pick your opponent, that's a distinct advantage in a matchup, and it disadvantages that seeded club that is deemed the worst, you know, or the best opponent for your club. So as a result, you know, there's the newfangled me kind of likes that.
And are you saying that they would pick the team that's already through playing because that would be the reason they'd pick them, so they didn't have to have a layoff?
No, what they would do is after that first 3 sets of games, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, and George, please correct me if I'm wrong on this.
No, you're going right.
They would go through that best of 3 series, and then when they reseed, they could pick their opponent out of those remaining 3 clubs.
Yeah. Okay. So, honestly, that doesn't help the layoff issues, right?
It doesn't help the layoff. All it does is help the pitching coach and the manager.
Danny, let's go to what's going on between Atlanta and Los Angeles. And I want to ask this off the bat. Is there anything going on internally with the Dodgers that's more than just injuries? I don't see any fire out of them at all. Not that I want to, but I thought last night they'd come out snorting, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, and they don't have anything going on internally. I think, you know, without Muncy, without Turner, without Kershaw, that great ball club comes a little bit back to the pack. And by the way, George, I'm a little surprised you're even paying attention to this series. I didn't think you would be paying attention to this series, but
nice.
You know, I think the Dodgers are in a situation where they're an offensive ball club that also has great starting pitching. True, Scherzer has a tired arm. They came clean on that, and they said that Scherzer just hasn't been right.
Yeah.
They're giving him the extra day of rest that may not happen, but if it does, he's got it. Kershaw, I mean, one of the greatest pitchers of his generation. So you lose those two guys. They already lost May earlier in the year. And, you know, when Buehler and Urias didn't pitch to the level that we're used to, that club looks somewhat ordinary because they don't have the offense to atone for those losses.
Right.
Plus, George, Trey Turner's really struggling right now.
Which shocked me.
It is. And he hasn't struggled all year. He's the National League batting champion. So you have a situation where Muncy's an elite pitch, I would say, receiver. He gets as deep in the count as anybody in the game.
Yep.
He's been a lethal offensive bat for that club. Turner is patient, a great RBI guy. And now you lose Trey Turner. You know, that's 38% of your offense.
Yeah.
And I don't think any club could do that. But I don't think this is as much the Dodgers struggling as it is the Braves excelling. And I think if you look at what's happened, which is startling, what's gone on with that lineup has been amazing. And for me, the shocking thing is how those four acquisitions, Duvall, Jock Peterson, Rosario, Soler, how they've excelled in the postseason. Their triple slash, I wrote it down this morning, is like 341, 400, 593. That's absurd. And to do that as a group, those are the guys who Alex acquired.
Yes.
And they, you know, we were talking about it in July, but now here we are in mid to late October, and it's staggering how much these acquisitions are the principal reason for them excelling.
Let me go back to the Dodgers for a second. I want to get a point from you on this. Last night as I watched, I got the distinct impression that they went to the well with Julio Urias one time too many. He didn't look like he was anywhere near as sharp as I've seen. And so this is an easy second guess. They left David Price off the roster for this series. Don't you know he's sitting back going, wait a minute, what about me?
Yeah, George, those are such tough decisions
for
a postseason series. One thing I won't do is I won't second guess the use of starters because you've got to win 11 games. I mean, and in their case, 12.
Right.
And to do that, you've got to empty the gas tank, you know, and win any way you possibly can and worry about tomorrow. So in this situation, you skip side days and you use the side day in game because for me, I'm a big proponent of it. You put your best arm out there anytime you can. And if one of your starters is throwing out of the pen for an inning and maybe he's 85, 90% of his usual stuff, that's better than 100% of a mediocre reliever. So Urias, I think it's a great assessment on your part. He did not look the same, and this is a guy who's been elite all season long. We saw how he closed the World Series last year, but his stuff just wasn't right last night. And I think, you know, some of the second-guessers are saying, why is he using his starters in relief roles? Well, because he's trying to win. I don't fault that.
Yeah.
But the problem is when you go to that well, as you mentioned, when you go to that well, sometimes that well doesn't have the same stuff coming out of the pen. And I think what Dave did going to the bullpen was wise because he could see, and, you know, the catcher can see, but really, and more importantly, George, the hitters tell you. And the hitters were telling us last night that he wasn't his usual self because he's a swing-and-miss guy. There's a lot of bad contact pop-ups with him, and you weren't getting that last night. Early in the game, I thought to myself, okay, they're in trouble. This is going to be a bullpen game when it comes down to it. And now here's the problem, George. Now tonight they really do have a bullpen game. And that's the issue with the closers, or however you want to phrase it, when you want to say openers, when relievers start the game and it's not a starter, you got to get a minimum of 27 outs. It's really tough to do with a compromised pitching staff.
Yeah. Watson, we'll go a couple of questions. If you need more time after the break, we'll do that as well.
Danny, being in this business as long as I have seen the mind play such a part of sports, in all sports. Baseball's not by itself. And it's just, to me, watching the Dodgers and the Braves are loose as they can be, just flying around, and then have success by being that way, and it just then add to it. And the Dodgers just look tight to me. I'm not sure also that the Braves ought to send the Giants a little money, because I think that's such a big series, and I know what big games mean, and I mean in rival ways, and that was such a big series. I'm not sure that didn't take a little gas out of them too.
Watson, I so agree with you. And you know, Watson, another thing I was thinking about as I was, get this, guys, and this is something I wouldn't have said a couple months ago, but I was riding a gator on the back of the property as they were harvesting the corn, talking to our farmer, and what I was thinking was the Braves have an edge because the Braves got eliminated last year. They were up 3-1. They get beat. That team is motivated. They're fired up. I think you're right. I think the Dodgers tried so hard to catch the Giants in the regular season, expended a lot of energy, then went into one of the best five-game series I've ever seen, spent every ounce of emotion trying to beat them, did, and now depleted injury-wise and some issues. It's hard to fill that gas tank on a daily basis. And, you know, I know fans are saying, come on, it's the playoffs. But they're human beings. They're not machines. And sometimes you do have flat performances. Sometimes you just don't have your usual, I would say, oomph in your system. That's really hard to overcome against a club that's fully motivated to beat you.
Yeah, and Danny, it's in all sports, and I've always had fans say that. How could you not be ready for that game? It's not being ready. It's just that your mind has to trigger your body. That I believe that 100%. Nothing happens to you physically without your mind triggering it. And
I'm with you, Watson. I think
when you're just out of gas, Danny, you're kind of out of gas. I'm not making excuses because the Braves have been. They're unbelievable. I'm not doing that. But I've seen this. I've seen it with teams I've played against. I've seen it with my own team. And you can know it's coming, and you can work at it as a coach and do everything you can, but there's just sometimes it ain't there.
No, and mental fatigue for me this time of the year is more of a challenge than physical fatigue. It's really, really hard for a lot of guys to play a month straight with mental focus, because just you're not asked to do that during the regular season, but everything you do in the postseason is magnified.
Well, and then when that one team is pumped and the other one's kind of hunting for gas, they're stopping at stations trying to fill up. Man, this is what can happen.
No, no question, but we shouldn't look at what the Braves have done and point to the Dodgers, because the Braves clearly right now, today, are the better team than the Dodgers. And you
Absolutely.
Know, I know George is smiling right now in the studio, but
you got
today,
that right.
You know, today, over the last 7 months, they weren't. But this week, they are, and that's what baseball's all about. It's seizing the moment in the postseason. You know, Tampa Bay already went home. Clubs go home early. The Giants are home. I mean, this is the ugliness of the postseason. I give Atlanta a ton of credit for seizing the opportunity and being able to put this great Dodger team away.
We'll stop there. We'll have more with Danny Evans in a moment on the Plaster Radio Network.
There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. App, simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlays and exclusive always on promotions. They even get your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Such a range of betting options, player props, futures. You can find it at FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, bet on any game. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back. And if you don't win in your first bet, site credit, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. You win, keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in that site credit. If you never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? What a great, great deal this is. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code GREGP. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code GREGP.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Hey, this is George Plaster. As some of you know, I've set up the Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night presented by Gish Sherwood and Friends, Monday night, November the 29th at Hermitage Strike and Spare. Proceeds from the event will benefit Last Minute Toy Store and the Martha O'Brien Center. Those are two charities that I am really excited about. Here's the way you can get involved. Simply go to celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. Again, celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. There will be a 6 to 8 p.m. shift and an 8 to 10 p.m. shift. You select which shift you want to be in. Each foursome will play 2 games, and each foursome will be paired with 2 different sports celebrities. Cost is $200 per person or $800 for a foursome. I'm not promising great bowling, but what I am promising is a fun event you will never forget.
Terry, I see where your team scapegoated another coach today.
Oh, who got the boot today?
The first base guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
First base coaches have an easy life. They don't really get blamed for a lot like third base coaches.
This one did.
Wow.
He's out the door. Going, in fact, I'll find the story, but I think he sort of saw the handwriting on the wall and decided to leave and get into the college world at the University of Oklahoma.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. I'm sorry I can't find it right off the bat. I know you have questions for Danny. So there, do it.
All right, Danny. Let's flip over and talk about the American League for a little bit. because George is on cloud nine because of the Braves. But even though I'm not a fan of either team, obviously, the Red Sox for obvious reasons, the Astros for their sins of a couple of years ago, but there is one, in my mind, there's one redeeming quality that makes me favor the Astros in this series, and that's the fact that Dusty Baker has always been a guy who he's managed a number of different clubs. He's a guy who has a reputation of being great at managing personalities, managing a clubhouse, and getting the most out of a team. He's been questioned at times about his on-field managerial strategies, but if he can get back to the World Series and get another crack at a ring, I think that that would be one justifiable way to say that the Astros, I'm okay with them being there.
Well, Terry, first of all, I'm really surprised you're not rooting for the Red Sox in this series. That really shocks me.
The sad thing is that if they weren't the Red Sox, they're actually a very likable team in terms of their personality.
Let's be honest, Terry. For you, it's the Russians versus the Iranians.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, this is a tough series for me because the two managers are really good friends of mine. Alex Cora, I've known since he was 12 years old, played for my Dodger club. Dusty Baker is one of my longest standing friends in the game. In fact, one of the best gifts I ever received in my career was from Dusty Baker. I think Dusty Baker's a Hall of Fame manager myself. He's already won 3 World Series. This is going to be his fourth club now that has been in the postseason, maybe the fifth. I think Dusty gets criticized a lot because Dusty doesn't play by the book. He goes by a gut feel. He's got almost 2,000 wins in his big league career, and as a result, I think that gut feel's been pretty darn good. I'm torn on this one because I really am not a massive fan of either one, but I'm a huge fan of the individuals in the dugout. But I think Dusty is doing a great job so far this postseason, having his team ready, making some real difficult decisions in game that could have gone either way, some of which, and listen, the four of us know, some of which weren't the popular move at the time, but he's just not afraid. And I think the best thing about Dusty, Terry, this guy has unbelievable communication skills. I don't know of anybody who's ever played for him that doesn't rave about him as a human being. He is an exceptional communicator. He's tough. He's not afraid to have the difficult conversation. But the thing about him, he makes tough calls in-game and doesn't look back. And to me, a lot of guys run away from that. He does not. I give a guy like that a lot of credit.
Absolutely. In terms of that, I mean, were you surprised that Chris Sale, I know he's battled injuries, were you surprised he ran out of gas so quickly last night?
No, it's pretty prevalent. Guys coming off of Tommy John surgery for the audience, it's sometimes an 18-month experience, and the first 6 to 8 months upon return, there are dead arm periods. There are periods where the ball just doesn't come out the way it usually does. And, Terry, their fatigue sometimes is unannounced. It's just sudden. It's at 40, 60, 75 pitches, unlike, when you're at full throttle. And I think what Alex saw the other night was a guy who just didn't look the part. So as a result, a lot of guys get caught, Terry, where they just don't have anything in their arsenal that night, and they're a shadow of who they usually are. I think that's what we've seen on a couple of occasions this postseason with Sale.
And then I want to go jump ahead into free agency just a little bit, knowing that my Yankees need a shortstop. There are 5 big names out there that are on the shortstop list. I'd like for you to rank them and tell me which ones you feel like would be the best fit in pinstripes. There, 2 of them are already in this postseason, Corey Seager and Carlos Correa, along with Trevor Story, Javi Baez, and Marcus Semien.
Huh. Well, I'm probably a bigger Trevor Story fan than most people. He's an exceptional athlete with instincts. I don't think the altitude is the reason he's such a proficient offensive player. So what I would do is I would look at the defense just as much as the offense, Terry, because I think it's imperative if you're trying to win a World Series, not be competitive, trying to win a World Series, you've got to be in a situation where he catches the ball and gets that third out of an inning. So for me, Correa is the best of the group, but Correa has had so many injury issues. So he'd be number one with an asterisk for me. I know this would not be the normal answer, but I would do Trevor Story second. I don't think he's going to have the same price tag as a couple of those other guys, and I think Story's going to stay at shortstop for the length of his contract. I also think Story is such a good runner in terms of skills and in terms of athleticism that as he ages, he's going to age into a slightly above-average runner instead of right now where he's a plus runner. So I would go Correa, Story, Seager, Baez, Semien. And I think any of those five, you're happy as heck that you've got him playing every day at shortstop with you. But for me, you have to think about, you got to be able to do other things with your money. And I think when you drop all your money on one guy, the problem is you don't have resources to do some of the other things that you want to do. That's why I would pick Story as my guy. I would go after him.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. My personal preference would be for Seager, and it's really one reason, and that's because he's a left-handed bat to balance out Judge and Stanton.
Yeah, no, I got it, Terry. I just don't like him at shortstop. To me, he's at best mediocre. He has a very stiff right side. I mean, his backhand, his feet don't work well with his gloves sometimes. And if you notice, he doesn't make the great play laterally like a lot of great shortstops. He's an offensive player. I think he's going to end up moving over to third, first, or second base. So right away, because he's going to move, I just don't like him as much as a couple of those other guys.
Gotcha. And I got one more for you here. What have we seen? The one guy in the Dodger lineup that really has done damage in this postseason is the guy that hit 165 through the regular season because of injuries and just problems with his swing and whatnot. But what do you make of the postseason that Cody Bellinger's having? And does that kind of redeem what he suffered through in the regular season?
Oh, Terry, what a super question. You know, the amazing thing about him is he was having trouble with velocity throughout the 21 season. I think he hit about a buck 60 on 94-plus fastballs during the course of the year. Instead, now he's turning those balls around, driving balls. That ball he hit out the other night, that was the highest, fastest pitch hit for a home run all year. It was extraordinary. In the last 6 years, only two balls have gone out from that spot at that velocity. So what he's doing, Terry, I think, is a combination of elite skills, but also experience. You know, the 160 batting average over the course of the season, you can redeem yourself if you have a great postseason. And I think what he's done single-handedly is keep the Dodgers alive, because a couple of his hits over the course of the last 3 weeks have been huge. So I think he's better than he played all year. You know, he had a bad shoulder tear, and
hey,
the extension
Danny,
is something that hurts. Yes, George.
I got to stop you. Let's do it again next week.
Prescription products require an online consultation. Restrictions apply. Radio
Network.
For full details and important safety information.
Think you might have ED? Not sure? Well, we'd like to let you in on a little secret. ED is common. About 40% of men experience ED by age 40. But the solution is simple. Find it at 4hims.com.
I didn't have to talk to a doctor in person. There was no copay, and the medication was shipped right to my door in discreet packaging.
Hims took care of it, fast and easy. Now our love life is better than ever.
Get access to doctors online who can prescribe you FDA-approved ED medication if appropriate. The same active ingredient as name brands, but 90% cheaper. Skip the waiting rooms and pharmacy lines. Get a free medical consultation and rise to the occasion or your money back. Go to 4hims.com. Visit BetterHelp.com/joy to get your first visit free. No copay required. The only way to get this special offer is to go to ForHims.com/joy. ForHims.com/joy.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Time for Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Soul Tea, the organic hand-blended tea that's good for the soul. And now, here he is, George Plaster.
Okay, apparently we've had some technical issues, so to the network stations down the line, if you can hear this, my apologies. We're going to Stat of the Day a little bit early. Terry, what do you got?
All righty. We've learned over the years not to ever count out Derrick Henry when there's a milestone or a record that is within reach, right? He needed 250 yards last year to reach 2,000 yards, and he surpassed that in the season finale. The year before that, I think it was against the Cleveland. I forget who it was against. But he needed so many yards to overtake Nick Chubb for the rushing title and did that. So he needs 217 yards Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs to reach 1,000 yards in 7 games. 3 other men have reached 1,000 yards in 7 games in NFL history. In fact, one of them did it twice. Want to venture a guess as to who they are?
Yeah, let me just stall around here for just a second so we can get the other stations in here with us. Terry, if you will, repeat the question one more time.
Okay, Derrick Henry needs 217 yards Sunday against Kansas City to become the 4th running back to get 1,000 yards in just 7 regular season games. Who are the 3 other men that did this, and one of them did it twice?
Watson, would you, and let's you and I bat it around, would we start with Eric Dickerson?
Yeah, I would say so.
Let's go with Eric Dickerson. Same to you. Fine. It's the pleasure you all take in doing that that's so bothersome.
Yes.
Watson, if it's George, not him, would OJ be in there?
It's such a weird one. 1,000 yards in 7 games. I mean, you don't go out to reach that record. I'd say it's probably names that didn't just knock us down completely. You could say that one. Yeah, I mean, might as well.
Yeah, what the heck? I mean, yeah. OJ.
Do it twice because he's the guy who did it twice.
Really?
73 and 75.
Which is amazing. I mean, because he still has time to find the killer.
Yes. Well, this was before that. This was in 1973.
Right. But even now, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's just. So how many more?
2 more.
2 more. Okay. Let's use Pogge's cheat sheet. Watson, you got any problem with going Emmett Smith?
No.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's a dumb pick.
So if it had worked, it would have been your pick.
Why the hell are we listening to Pogies?
Since it didn't work, it was Pogies.
You got that right. Okay, Watson. Could Barry Sanders be that person?
Yeah, he could be.
Let's go with him. I don't like the question. Okay, hold on. We're getting another.
Kind of different. How about Christian McCaffrey? He's one that had that real hot start once. His might have been rushing and receiving.
You're going to kick yourself over one of these.
Chris Johnson?
Jim Brown?
Whoa, wait a minute.
Jim Brown is it.
Is it Jim Brown?
Yes.
Wow. Pogie, what were you writing down there on your little cheat
1958.
Sheet? 1958. Pogie now won't show it to us because it's probably embarrassing.
Do you want me to give you the other one or do you want to keep guessing?
No, I'd just as soon you give it to me. I've had enough of this question.
Terrell Davis.
Ah.
1998.
Weird career. Man, when he was good, he was really good.
Absolutely.
Okay. Pretty good question.
Thank you.
Good way to end the hour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some pretty elite names there, you know, and then some names that you guys threw out there that, you know, I think a lot of people would have thought Eric Dickerson because he holds the single season record, but apparently he only had 950 yards through seven games.
Yeah. It sounds like we may be having some technical difficulties, and so it's possible that we're going to keep it here and to the network stations down the line. I guess we are going to keep it here. Are we able to play anything? Can we play our open? Yeah. Let's play our open. What the heck? Why not?
The 2021 edition of the Underdog Picks is brought to you by Sir Speedy of Music City, the official sign provider of WNSR Radio. By A&R Roofing, where the pick always covers your roofing, siding, and gutter needs. And by Wilson Bank and Trust, providing an assortment of financial solutions and friendly professional service. And now, here's your esteemed commissioner, Pogu.
Hello, Greg.
I don't get the feeling that was the open that you were looking for. You're looking for the show open?
That's okay.
For the third hour?
That's okay.
Your body language is speaking loud over there.
Hold on a second. Uh-huh. I know. We got a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of moving parts going on. And so you just go with the flow. Every once in a while, this happens in radio. So do you want the real open?
No, I'm just following along this wreck.
Wow. Okay. Nice. Watson, you're there?
I'm still here.
Okay, excellent. To the stations down the line with us, just kind of hang with me because it sounds like we need to keep it here. We've had something go on in the studio that may require that. Pogie, are you enjoying my Braves kicking the Dodgers?
Well, yeah. I like the Braves. They're on our station. I like a lot of their players and, you know, sort of makes me feel a little bit better that the Braves have won, what, 6 out of 7 games, 3 over my Brewers and 3 out of 4 over the Dodgers. They're a hot baseball team. They're playing loose. That's the thing. And we talked about this last week, Watson. That team's just having fun. And I think LA's playing tight. I thought my Brewers played tight, and I don't see that with the Braves. I really don't.
Oh, I talked to Danny about that today, Pogie, probably when you weren't around, and that was what I brought up. It's amazing what the mind does and how the mind triggers the physicality of the body, and then the body just goes wild, you know? I mean, and that the Braves are just, I'm not sure anybody can handle them right now.
Are you surprised, Pogie? When I watch the Dodgers, I'm like, this just doesn't seem like them.
Well, they got a hole in their starting lineup without Kershaw. Okay, a big hole. And that's causing the ripples all the way through, having to go to a bullpen type, you know, starting situation tonight and pitching situation. No, I mean, but, you know, you don't see Mookie Betts. I mean, this guy's a, what, four-time gold glover, you know, booting it in the outfield.
Right.
I think not having Justin Turner healthy and a vibrant part of it, he's sort of the heart and soul of that team. Trey Turner's gone cold. I mean, and it's right now the Braves are hitting the ball, and, you know, no Soler, no problem.
I think there's something Danny said earlier that I think is right. Yeah. I think they emptied the tank against the Giants, and there's nothing left.
And they also miss Max Muncy tremendously because he is a serious bat in the middle of that lineup.
Well, and Jocktober, too.
Yeah.
He was on the other side last
year. You're right.
And a clutch hitter.
What do you think, though? What do you think Price is thinking?
Well, I mean, he can't even get on the field, right?
He's not on their active roster for this series. And last night...
What is he? What is Dave? 35?
34,
35?
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the stations that are... perhaps rejoining us. We've had some technical issues. Let's go ahead now and begin the underdog stuff.
All right. Well, before we get going, the commissioner, in consultation with several of the panelists, and it was been prompted by the director, really playing to the echo of the whistle, if you will.
Really?
Or pushing the envelope, if you will. And it became really pretty obvious last week with you having the number one pick, you know, that you were, you know, there could have been some tampering, really.
Tampering
even to the point. So what we have decided, we being the commissioner, me, myself, and I, is that when anyone on the panel gets close to being out of bounds, Ray, this is what they're going to hear.
Really?
Yes, it's a like a mosquito on steroids. Uh-huh. I didn't know what the hell that was.
What exactly did I do?
Well, I mean, you were the first pick, and you were trying to find out what everybody else was going to pick, and to bolster, you know, and you're, you know, thinking of what I'm doing is right, and it turned out to be right, as will soon be revealed. But, you know, it's really, you know, you take advantage of the fact that you're the director. And once again, Ray, and it's just not for Ray. If anybody on the panel, including me, gets close to being out of bounds.
We need a new whistle.
That one sounds feeble.
That one that one needs a new P. That one needs a new P.
We need a whistle bad. Oh, God.
Sounds like we went to the welfare line to get
that
thing.
Yeah, we did.
So what is
that?
Wouldn't
even stop a runner at a peewee game.
What is the specific violation?
Well, you know, we would say the violation would be, I don't think tampering. I just think maybe obnoxious.
Okay.
You know, I mean, maybe.
So you're basically trying to get me on general principle. You don't like how I'm operating, but you really don't have anything specific enough to take this to a tribunal.
No, but I think it's a cumulative effect.
Tribunal.
Yeah, it's a cumulative effect.
Yeah.
Right?
It's sort of a wearing on.
You know, it's like, you know, the guy who on his fifth time of pickpocketing a Snickers, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not real cheating. It's just sort of the spirit of the game.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm deeply embarrassed.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I'm embarrassed by the whistle. But anyway.
Let's be honest.
We actually had to order that.
The whistle was pathetic.
Yeah, that even makes it a little better, quite frankly. And it's actually, the guy was whistling, he ran out of gas, and then had a little at the end there. Did you notice that?
Thank you for sharing that. Is there a review in our future?
Yes, there is. Week God. 7, Mr. Plaster goes first after much, whatever you want to call it. And he took the LSU Tigers Saturday night, home underdog against Florida. And that was a winner, winner, chicken dinner. LSU wins upright, outright, or downright, 49-42. And it cost Coach O his job. Well, I think a lot of other things cost Coach O his job. Speaking of being out of bounds, but anyway, good pick, George.
This is the first time I've been compared to him. Okay.
Okay. Okay, George.
This is the first time.
But a good pick.
He got fired before the Florida game.
Oh yeah, yeah. He got fired
sometime. Sometime about between Commonwealth Stadium and Keeneland, the week before he got fired.
I would say it was a variety of things, quite frankly.
But what bothers me is you've been taking little shots at me about these little nickel and dime things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I put serious meat on the bone and I don't hear anything from you.
Well, I'm not on your show until now. I mean, I did call in yesterday when you were acting like you didn't know what the other three did. Yeah, right.
I didn't remember.
No, you remembered. You didn't remember exactly. You knew that everybody lost. There's where you were playing loose with the
with the truth.
That's where you're playing loose with
again?
The truth.
Let's hear it.
That sounds more like a smoke alarm that's going bad.
that one of the batteries isn't working.
Yeah. Yes.
Batteria. What else?
All right.
Anybody else have any picks?
Watson went second.
How do you do?
Kansas State plus 6.5 at Iowa State. Iowa State wins 33-20. Please explain yourself, Watson.
Just another one of them picks, babe.
Wasn't this the missus pick?
No. The missus pick was taken.
Oh, that's right. By the director.
So she had LSU?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does she get 12
points?
Oh,
wow.
Dang, George. We talked about that last week when you picked LSU because you go around the table and say, what do you think about this pick?
So Brenda is now ahead of Watson in the standings.
Be right tied, I guess.
No, she would have a half-point lead.
Yeah.
Oh, she would?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So well.
But Kansas State didn't do you any good there.
No, they didn't, did they?
Then next.
They did not.
Terry McCormick goes to the well too often. He takes BYU plus 6.5 at Baylor. Baylor wins 38-24.
BYU probably forgot to pack their defense for the trip. Not a good showing for the Cougars. They got indoctrinated into Big 12 football where they're going next year.
And?
So, hold on a second. Because all their guys are in their 30s. They forgot to pack?
Yeah. They didn't pack any. They played terrible defense.
Wow.
They were out of that game by halftime.
Did you watch it?
I watched bits and pieces of it, and then I finally just said, the heck with it, I'm mowing the yard.
What, they like some of them leave to go on their mission? What?
They may have left. Some of the defense may have gone on their mission trip. Their mission apparently was not to stop Baylor.
And then last, I had Oklahoma State at Texas and Virginia Tech at Pitt to choose from. And I was coerced into taking Virginia Tech. It was my fault that I listened. But, of course, Oklahoma State did win at Texas straight up.
Coerced by whom?
You. But it's not worthy of the whistle. That wasn't worth it. But anyway, I in my follies, took Virginia Tech, the home underdog, against Pitt, and they lost 28-7. And it wasn't even that close.
Watson, is Justin Fuente going to get fired at the end of the year?
If it don't change fast, he's history.
Because, in all honesty, they have become less and less relevant.
And that is a great place to play. They're not going to accept mediocrity or even less than that there. So he's got to turn it around, and I just don't think he can.
Well, who's next there? Jamie Chadwell. I know they lost last night. Coastal Carolina did. But is he next there?
I don't know. I think they'll flounder around in the big names for a little bit first. That's what I think. Hey, guys, how many times does the guy that follows the legend make it? It's hard. That is a hard thing to do. And I nearly went with Ray Perkins I did accept it and then backed out and went to Cincinnati when he followed Coach Bryant. It's a very, very hard thing to do.
He ended up going to Tampa before it was over.
Yeah, he kind of beat the posse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and the thing is, too, of all the years to Clemson is down, obviously. You know, Clemson has not covered the spread a single time this year, not in a single game. If you bet against Clemson every game this year, you've won every game.
Do you know they're an underdog this week against Pitt? When was the last time, other than maybe when they would play Alabama, has been a dog?
I think it opened, but I think it's moved to Clemson now. Let me check with that. No, you're right. Clemson opened as a 3-point favorite. It is now Pitt minus 3.5.
Wow. So
it moved up.
Shall we review standings?
Yes, we have. Terry McCormick, still the leader, 27 points, 4-3 on the season. George, with the 12, doubled his previous point production with one win. He is 24 points in second place, 4-3 on the season. The commissioner, 20.5 points, 3-4 on the season. And Watson Brown, bringing up the rear. We can just sort of, if you just want to record that and play it every week, that's fine. Watson Brown, bringing up the rear, 11.5 points, 2-5 on the season.
Now, wait a minute.
I know that was a cheap
shot.
You
took a cheap shot at one of my broadcast partners. That's unacceptable.
What are your broadcast partners?
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Do you ever take a shot at your broadcast partner, George, with anything to do maybe with age, anything that comes?
It's okay
you bring
for
up
me
the
to
Yankees
do it.
In the 20s, I mean, you always reference Watson.
Right. It's okay for me.
Newt Rockne speech. Hey, Watson, what was that like?
I'm just here's the problem, Pogie. I don't know what violations I committed. When I asked you for specifics, it just got really muddy. Would you admit that when you heard, when I asked what the violations were, he really didn't have anything?
I'm staying out of this one.
Yeah.
Commissioner has to make decisions.
Can I tell you what the Supreme?
I think George is using the family argument.
Yeah,
he can pick on the other people, but when an outsider comes to pick on other people, then he's not going to stand.
Well, he wants to know the specifics. The U.S. Supreme Court said about pornography, "I can't describe it, but I know it when I see it."
Hey, so wow.
So wow. You're saying you know these violations?
Yes,
when
I see them. Yes, I do.
Really? So it's not so much anything illegal. It's just the spirit of what I'm doing.
Yeah, bad taste, really. Bad taste.
Bad taste.
Yeah, bad taste.
This coming from you. Yes. our resident common yard dog.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow. This is shocking.
But anyway, so coming up.
You realize we still got 3 minutes to fill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got on a little early.
For the networks down the line.
Yes.
Mark.
Okay. So what's the order? We can stall around.
Yeah. I get to go first. And I am not going to be over there, you know, messing around. What do you think, George? What do you think, Watson? Huh? I'm first, but what are you picking? No, I'm not going to be doing that. That was a bad imitation of George.
Do you know what you're picking?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have to go very far. I'm first, right? So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do. Sure, I do.
I just asked.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm a pogit. That's what you do. You book it. I'm going to pogit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Plaster, you will be second.
I'm George.
Mm-hmm. George. Plaster will be second, the director, Watson third, and Terry last.
So that's the order.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think this is, since I have a little fill time here, Terry, do you think this is a good week to be fourth?
No. I did find four games that I could choose from, but numbers 3 and 4 are a little shaky.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. Watson, how about you?
Well, I'm kind of waiting for Brenda to get home. She's not here yet. I may just have to pick one.
So that's what it's gotten to.
Oh, Evan, yes. We got to have that or divine intervention or something. It's getting late here.
Okay. So I guess it's fair to say that when we come back, the selections will be in. We will pick our underdog winner for week number 8. Looking forward to it. Might really have a surprise for everybody when we come back. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Okay, apparently we are continuing to have some technical difficulties, so I'm going to stall around just a little bit so that we can get our network affiliates back in here with us, because the information that is about to be dispensed is, it's riveting.
I certainly, my Thursday afternoon is built around this, George. I just let you know.
Wow.
What other things would it be built around?
I don't know. Breathing, eating, driving my car through the country.
Okay, well then.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing that. Watson, anything good you'd like to share?
No. No. I'm just
Please share along, something. Man. Please share something, Watson.
What? I got nothing. I can share that it's pouring up here.
Yeah, it came through here. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's bright sunshine.
I can share that, so it is raining like hell here.
It's sunshiny here now.
Okay, to the stations down the line, we're about a minute away from rejoining you all and getting this show on the road. This is week number 8 of the underdog picks, and... I'm proud of being 4-3, and Terry, you should be as well.
Yes. By the way, I got a little bit of Titans news if you'd like to have it.
Oh, sure. Why not?
To help stall.
Yeah.
Looks like the injury report is out, and by George, Julio Jones practiced today. He was limited, but he practiced.
Well, isn't that special?
Yeah.
Okay, that was some good news. We're about 20 seconds away from rejoining our network, and then we will we'll get this show on the road and give you our picks for week number 8 of the Underdog Picks. So, Pogi, I would say, as commissioner, you need to take it away.
Thank you, George. Week number 8 is on the books, and once again, recanting the standings, rather, Terry McCormick in the lead, 27 points, 4-3 overall. Plaz, 24 points, 4-3 overall. Myself, 20.5, 3-4 on the season, and Watson at 11.5 points at 2-5 on the season. The commissioner is on the clock. It's not me, trust me.
Did we have a little pilot error there?
That's not me either.
Strike two.
I got you. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road. Already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. The Colorado Rocky Mountain High.
Are we going to hear the whole song?
No, just we got to the chorus there.
So does this mean we're going Colorado?
This means we're going Colorado, George. Kelly, John, be quiet. Colorado is getting 9 at California. I don't think either one of these teams are any good. As a matter of fact, Cal's only averaging 23 points a game, and in the modern era of Pac-12 football, that's bad. Cal blanked Arizona. Now, Cal almost went to Oregon and won, but I don't know if that's meaning much anymore anyway. But I thought Colorado looked really good, shutting down Arizona completely. Here's your little number for those who like to play at home with FanDuel Sportsbook, obviously. In the last 11 home games as a favorite against the spread, Cal is 0-10-1, and they've lost that by an average of 12.8 per game. They're not a very good home team. No one cares. Colorado goes in getting the 9, they win straight up. So, yes, I'm on a Rocky Mountain High over here with Colorado.
Thus, the Buffaloes.
Thus.
What's the number?
Plus 9. Colorado's getting 9.
Okay.
Don't everybody just jump in there at once.
Well, you're the commissioner. Oh, you want some reaction.
Well, that's usually how this plays, right?
Is the game on television anywhere?
Ms. Lou.
So you don't
Jefferson
know.
Jefferson Pilot.
You don't know, do you?
No, I don't know where Colorado is.
Because I was going to say, that game is so interesting that I won't watch it.
Wow.
Well, I won't watch it either. I'm just like the stock market. Tell me how it closes.
Colorado's bad.
Have you seen Cal?
Yeah, they're not anything to write home. They got a good quarterback. Garbers is pretty good. Just remember that.
I tell you what, it's where I do not throw a whistle on me. The spread is now 8.5. So I just took a half point away from me.
Your honesty is so
refreshing.
It is refreshing.
I like the fact that the number's gone from 10 to 8.5, so it's going my way. People are thinking that. So, yeah, I took Colorado on the road plus 8.5 at Cal. Coming up next, on the clock, it is, I wonder what his music's going to be. The director.
I believe after I pick this that Watson is going to say that I stole his. Oklahoma State.
You stole mine.
Oh. Watson, did I steal yours?
Nope.
Watson, I'm going to give you one because I want to help you. You're my teammate. You ready?
Yeah, but I can't wait.
We need to evacuate the building.
First off, let's finish your pick, okay?
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I want to give Watson some help.
Well, we haven't determined even what your number is yet.
Okay.
Okay. What do you have it at?
7.
Okay. We agree. Oklahoma plus 7 at Iowa State. Now, you see what I mean, Watson? Why I thought we needed the whistle. He hadn't even played his music yet. You're over there trying to help him, and you hadn't even finished up your deal.
We finished my deal.
It's getting better. It's getting a little louder.
That's 3 fouls in the first half. Yeah. Generally, a coach takes a player out at that point.
Well, it's sort of like how many technicals do you get in if you get 14 technicals, you have to sit out a game. What is it in the NBA? Something like that. 15, I think.
Yep.
So George is still alive in this.
You know what, then? I won't violate anything. I was trying to help Watson. I'll bring it up afterwards.
Well, can you let him get officially on the clock before you interject? Watson Brown is on the clock.
I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. Now I'm happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple chapel where humble people go to pray. I pray the Lord that I'll grow stronger.
Everyone, please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, please.
Where is this going?
Watson Brown, the king, of course.
Yes.
But I couldn't find no way to gain.
We didn't even get to the part you wanted, did we?
So if you lose, is next week Blue Christmas?
Isn't Elvis fantastic? I still love listening to that man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Now, I need a little divine intervention. My wife said, you better go to church, boy.
Now, George, I know you're itching over there, and a lot of times you can get a shot for that, but what do you have for Watson?
I'm going to wait until it's over.
Oh.
Let's see where Watson goes. By the way, did I take your pick?
No, I've said that twice already.
Okay, fine.
What are you trying to throw him off his game? See, there you go. That's you.
That thing is pathetic.
Maybe we'll have an improvement by next week.
Or not at all. I'm guessing once we have our post-show meeting. Watson?
Well, I figure that this is my last week to stay within normal numbers. So if this one don't work, I'm going to have to really go to left field a bunch. So I'm taking Charlotte in 6.5 against FAU.
Charlotte at home, FAU on the road. So Charlotte is a home dog plus the 6.5. The 49ers. Did that even come close to what you were going to offer, George?
No. Nope.
Are you clamming
up
now? No,
I'm gonna tell you after this is all over. Something I gave some consideration to. It's going to surprise you.
Can I? I think I might know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Don't we have a final person?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
The leader is on the clock, Terry McCormick.
sign in the middle of the night, but I couldn't see the light. No, I couldn't see the light. I kept on looking for a way to take me through the night. Couldn't get it right. Couldn't get it right.
A good song, and it kind of describes the way my last 2 weeks have gone. Couldn't get it right.
Climax Blues Band, old classic there.
Yeah, from about 1977, maybe?
Yep.
All righty. We're going to dip down into the group of five ranks and take a home dog here. We're going with a team that they've lost a couple of games in a row, but I think they're due for a bounce back because they played some pretty good teams. And I know that they'll get up for this game because their opponent is undefeated. I'm going with Louisiana Tech, getting 6.5 at home against Texas San Antonio.
Louisiana Tech plus 6.5 at San Antonio. Louisiana Tech undefeated, right? Wow.
No, Texas San Antonio.
Texas San Antonio is going to be undefeated, yes. Right? And headed to the American Athletic, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. But I think Louisiana Tech's got something for them.
Okay, now I'm going to reveal just a suspicion.
I wrote down what I think you're going to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Watson.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, Vandy has started to show me some stuff. Okay? They go to South Carolina. They have no clue how to end it. And they get beat. But the fact of it is, surprisingly, for 3.5 quarters, they were the better team. Against Florida, where the score looks awful, they got down in the red zone like 5 different times in the first half, didn't know how to punch any of them in. Right now, there's some improvement going on in their program, but in the end, they have no clue how to close the deal on any of it. At some point, this is going to start to pay off a little. I think they're going to scare Mississippi State.
I've had a bunch of scares, Georgia. Get you no points.
It's the spread opened at 23. It's now 20.5. Now, Mike Wright is starting again. We had Clark Lee on the show this morning, and he came out and said that, in a bit of a surprise, really, but Mike Wright will be starting instead of Ken Seals on Saturday. I thought he was solid. Didn't do anything to hurt the team. But, after a while, is Mike Leach's offense but the predictability of it? Because by the time, he had closed up shop at Washington State, Washington had figured it out completely, and he could never do anything offensively against them. Is that an offense that maybe the first couple times you see it, okay, but now it's defendable because it's predictable? Does that make sense, Watson?
Yeah, I think his stuff is all off of execution, and if his players execute well, he'll have a shot. And if they don't, he's not really a tricky guy or a fancy guy, really. I mean, it looks it because he passes all the time, but he's a very simple guy, and his quarterback didn't practice all week. So Rodgers might not play. So that was one that I had on my sheet as a possibility. The other one I had, not that you all care about what I picked, but the other one I had for big points, because that's where I'm going to have to start heading. Well, I think Louisiana Monroe is going to have a shot of beating South Alabama.
I agree with you. I noticed that one earlier.
I near took that one. If this was next week and I lost, I most definitely would have took that. But right, I just didn't, but I think they'll have a shot. Rich Rodriguez is their offensive coordinator, and they're getting a little better on offense every week.
Watson,
and, they last time South Alabama was there, they beat them with not a real good team. So I think they got a shot in this one.
Pogi in review.
Yes, sir. I went first to Colorado in the Rocky Mountain High plus 8.5 against Cal. Plaz took Oklahoma State plus the 7, Watson, Charlotte plus 6.5, and Terry McCormick bringing up the rear. But the leader in the clubhouse, Louisiana Tech plus 6.5.
I like my pick.
Okay.
Oklahoma State's underrated. Very underrated. Are we able to go to the break? Okay, we'll go to the break here in just a minute. Pogi, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It has been on this end as well.
We'll come up with a new sound effect for you next week.
Yeah, you do that. Okay, if you'd like to get in and talk a little bit, you got something on your mind, I'm dying to hear from you. 615-844-5600 is the number. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. It alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-915-3052. 800-915-3052. 800-915-3052. That's 800-915-3052.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
Over the last several months, you've heard me talk about golf, and in particular, Riverside Golf Links. It's at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. Earlier this summer, I went out and played, and I found out for sure that the things I've been saying to you in the commercial were absolutely true. So I want to take this and go one step farther. As the weather gets a little bit cooler, you might think about next year in golf, tournaments you might be involved in, tournaments you might set up. Let me strongly suggest Riverside Golf Links. I did this with a friend earlier, and they got it all set up, and they'll be playing a tournament next year. They've got 27 holes. You can simply go to riversidegolflinks.com or give them a call, 615-847-5074. It's golf the way you want it at Riverside Golf Links.
Golfers, it's time to tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops for the Callaway Apex Trade-In event running now through October 31st. Bring in any of your old clubs and receive a 50% trade-in bonus towards new Apex 21 irons. The Apex, Apex Pro, and Apex DCB are designed with artificial intelligence for faster ball speeds. Swing by and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Oh, there's some good music to bring us back. Watson.
Yes.
I got a series of college questions to throw at you.
Okay.
I think I know the answer to what I'm going to throw out there, because Clemson, quarterback-wise, just is not getting any better. Why are they in this position?
Shouldn't be. I mean, but I've watched a lot of those guys with those really good jobs. What usually gets you in those kind of jobs is you do something crazy off the field, as we've seen around, and then you don't hit the right quarterback. And if you don't hit the right quarterback in college, now with this transfer portal, it might get a little easier. But if you don't hit the right quarterback, you're stuck. And they don't go to the transfer portal. They don't have one kid from the transfer portal, not one. And that's what's happened to them. Their quarterback play is so poor, and he's just a drop-back thrower. Their system has been built around two running athletic quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, George. And now they go with a pure thrower, which I don't understand why they recruited a pure thrower. But that's where I think these dadgum services sometimes get you in trouble. You go and you want to be number one in recruiting, and he was one of the top two or three rated guys in the country, but he didn't fit their system, in my opinion. And I think that's why they're in trouble.
Watson, in the last segment when we were reviewing underdog picks, a little bit of discussion about Mike Leach and his offense and whether or not it's easy to figure out after you've seen it a couple of times. How similar or different is what Mike Leach runs as to what Josh Heupel and Lane Kiffin are doing?
The difference in those two guys, in my personal opinion, is they're built more around the run. All of us run about the same stuff. The stuff that I did, Terry, very similar to the stuff they're doing. But I never got to where I was an all-out pass guy. And they haven't either. Throw the guy at Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, right there with them. But Mike stuck to pure pass. When they put this together first at Kentucky when Hal Mumme was hired, they were the first at just all-out pass, 100%, go fast, do whatever. He stuck to it. And these guys, the disciples that have come from this stuff, have not. They have kept a lot of the passing principles, but they're running the football half the time with it. And that's the difference in Mike. He's the only one that I know, the only one that has stuck with just the pure out pass out of it. Just like they were doing in Lexington back when he was the offensive line coach under Hal Mumme.
Watson, do you give Tennessee any real chance of being in the game in the fourth quarter against Alabama?
No, just quarterback. If Hooker, I haven't seen anything to say playing or not. I thought it looked like a pretty good injury. If he does play, he's going to be limited, in my opinion. Not a good week to be limited. And if he doesn't play, I just don't think Milton is good enough, George. I just don't think that he'll move the ball the way they've been moving it. And they're going to have to score in the 30s to be in the game in the fourth quarter. I don't see how they can do it with their quarterback situation.
I want you to go back to something that we really did not address to any great extent earlier this week, and that's my fault. Milton comes into the game at the very end. Now, if he has any brain whatsoever, he can look at the clock and see he's got 3 seconds on the clock. And he knows, no matter what, you got to get it in the end zone. And for whatever reason, he chooses to run and goes out of bounds. And as a coach, I would go absolutely berserk on him and just say, are you that dumb that you can't see that clock and know what it is you have to do? I mean, explain that to me, Watson. How can anybody be that dumb?
I don't like that word, George.
I don't either.
I would never use that with a kid. I've never said that to a kid in my 46 years of coaching. We all do things in instincts and seconds, and that happened. He breaks contain. He's got to make a decision in a half a second. It was by far absolutely the wrong one. there is no doubt in my mind he knows he was wrong long before he got to the sidelines. It was embarrassingly wrong. It's like the quarterback that downs the ball and it's fourth down.
Right.
It's stuff like that that it just happens. And it's it, but it, I don't know that that's got anything to do with how sharp the kid
okay.
is. He just
how do you...
throws in the situation. And it was bad. He had to throw that ball in the end zone. He just had to flip it up somehow and flip it in the end zone and see if it got bounced around. It honestly, it's a Hail Mary from the 20-yard line once you break contain.
Sure.
You're mouth over, you're moving around, and it's a Hail Mary. And I felt for him. I'll tell you that as a coach. It kills you. I felt for him because it was an embarrassing moment that I promise you the kid knew as soon as he got up off the ground.
As a coach, how do you address that?
You don't address it with the team. If it is brought up within the team, you say one play does not beat us. There was 15 others that if we had done this and we score here or that, that's the way you do that. You just don't want any one kid to feel like he cost you the ball game. And
I don't listen. I don't think he cost them the game.
No,
but
I don't
that's.
Either.
That is
but
a
it
mental.
Is the last play of the game that gave them any shot to win.
Yeah, I mean,
it was the last time you got a shot to win the game.
You would rather see the ball just basically thrown to the moon to allow your offensive players to get under it in that Hail Mary.
Well, it's George. It's no different to me, and it's so hard to hold your temper or your whatever. Is when the guy's doing that and he throws it over everybody's head out of bounds. It's no different. I mean, you just take it and you throw it over everybody's head out of bounds. My gosh, put it on a body somewhere. There's not much difference, even though it's not as embarrassing as this one was. And I would not have addressed it with the team at all, and I would have probably one-on-one, maybe all the way to Sunday night or something, I would have waited a while to let everything calm
okay.
down and bring the kid in. And I think the kid, before I even got into it, would say, "Coach, God, I know.
Watson, I'm going to throw this at you. We've got about a minute or so. Of Michigan, Michigan State, and Oklahoma State, all three undefeated, who are you buying most?
Michigan, Michigan State, and who? Oklahoma?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Of those three, I kind of go with Michigan State. I don't know why. I don't think I should. Out of those three, the two that are playing the best defense are Michigan and Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State's doing it in a offensive league. So I wouldn't count those guys out. But I'm going to stick with Michigan State right now. I don't think Michigan's good enough on offense, and I'm not sure Oklahoma State's good enough on offense. Michigan State is the better offense of those three.
Take one look at Oklahoma State in recent years. There have been some 5-0 starts where they limp to the finish line because the schedule gets a lot tougher late.
It does, but that they don't usually beat Texas. They've history-wise, I can remember when I was in the league, I can remember when Mac played them. They always play Texas very good, always. Now, didn't always beat them, but it was wars. And then for some reason, George, after that, they've fallen off. This defense, though, is the best one I've seen them have in a while.
Okay, we'll come back with the final countdown that includes a lot of stuff tonight, a lot of games, several on the college level, a pro game, and hopefully a Braves clincher. This is the Plaster Radio Network.
Hey, Hey, this is George Plaster. As some of you know, I've set up the Plaster and Friends Celebrity Bowling Night presented by Gish Sherwood and Friends Monday night, November the 29th at Hermitage Strike and Spare. Proceeds from the event will benefit Last Minute Toy Store and the Martha O'Brien Center. Those are two charities that I am really excited about. Here's the way you can get involved. Simply go to celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. Again, celebritybowlingnight@gmail.com. There will be a 6 to 8 p.m. shift and an 8 to 10 p.m. shift. You select which shift you want to be in. Each foursome will play two games, and each foursome will be paired with two different sports celebrities. Cost is $200 per person or $800 for a foursome. I'm not promising great bowling, but what I am promising is a fun event you will never forget.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times, during hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly, wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
Okay, apparently we are coming back a little bit early. We've had a technical issue that is causing some of this, and hopefully we'll be able to get it fixed in the near future. We've got some of the network stations that obviously we maybe are stalling around to allow to get back. But I guess what the heck, let's go ahead and hit a little Europe. Okay, let's start with the NFL game. Cleveland will play without Baker Mayfield. They've got a ton of injuries, but they have one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL, a guy you can win with in Case Keenum. Watson, I'm going to go out on a limb. I think the Browns win tonight.
I think we may have lost Watson.
Their running game going, there will be easy throws for Case. There will be one-on-one throws, which he is very capable of making.
You think Cleveland wins?
I'm not going that far, but I think they can win. I think they can win. I think it's going to be a really close game. It'll depend on how well they run the ball. If they run the ball well, they win. If they're not running it well and he's got to just drop back and catch up, and not going to happen.
Terry, here's where I'm coming from. Number one, Denver is overrated. And with each passing week under Teddy Bridgewater, offensively, they're not getting anything done.
Right, and he's questionable tonight, apparently.
Right, which would put Drew Locke back.
Oh, well, then I think Cleveland wins. I didn't know that.
I'll be honest, I didn't know that either.
I saw it on
I didn't know Bridgewater was injured.
It was on ESPN about an hour ago.
Yeah. So we've got those issues. On the pro level, on the college level tonight, got four games. SMU, Tulane, none of these are biggies. Louisiana, the former UL Lafayette, goes to Arkansas State to take on Butch Jones. FAU goes to Charlotte, take on the Fighting Will Healy's. And San Jose State in a late game is at UNLV. Watson, if you had to pick one of the four, which one would you watch?
Well, I picked the one I'll have to watch is the one I picked because I picked Charlotte in the deal. So I'll probably go back and forth. I'll be watching the NFL game with that pile. George, what about the – we didn't get any chance to talk about it. Do you think the AAC did the right thing taking the teams they took?
Just seems like they went for quantity.
I don't know that that's improved their image in the conference at all. I'm not taking any shot at any school, but I just to do it that quick and that's who you end up taking, I just wonder.
It's just quantity. It doesn't seem like quality, and I guess I'm surprised no Western Kentucky, no Middle.
I think if you look, it's a lot of the bigger markets.
Yeah.
That's if you look at it, that's they went for Charlotte, they went for Birmingham, they went for San Antonio, they went for Houston. I think they went market wise is what they did.
I think you're right.
They didn't take La Tech.
But wouldn't you be saying Middle Nashville?
No. They wouldn't. I don't think they would think that. No, I don't think Middle gets what they deserved. They deserve, in my personal opinion. They don't get that much of the Nashville market. But honestly, George, the Nashville market's kind of hard because it's turned so pro. You know how Vanderbilt used to be in Tennessee and Nashville.
Yeah,
it was front page headlines, whether I liked it or not. We were front page headlines every day, and now they're back in page 3 and 4 and all of that. It's turned into a big time pro town.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that they would put Middle with the Nashville market. I just don't.
About 30 seconds. Terry, do the Braves close tonight?
Well, they got their best pitcher on the mound, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
Watson?
I think they need to. I think it's dangerous to throw their best pitcher tonight. I don't know that I would have done that, but I think it puts a little more pressure on them to win tonight because if they lose with their best and Scherzer gets that extra day of rest to boot, it's back to a ball game. It's back to it's not over again, George. So I think they're putting all the marbles out there tonight.
By the way, I totally agree with you. I would not have Max Fried start until Saturday. But I know we're out of time. I know we're out of time, so we got to run. Watson, see you soon.
See you, buddy. See you, Terry.
This is the Plaster Radio Network.